Today I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like, what did you get yourself into? You didn't have the right experience or the right skill set? Well, I know I have, and you probably have too. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Okay, today we're going to continue with the series, The Manifestation of Your Life Mission. Rick is showing us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to do, we don't have to run away from it. We can actually run toward it. This is such a good message, and I hope you'll invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how we can live according to the purpose and plan that He has for us. Let's join Rick as he shares part two of a message called What to Do When It Feels Hopeless.
I want to read you a poem. It's over 100 years old. It's by a guy named Sam Foss. It's called The Prayer of Farmer Brown. The proper way for one to pray, said Pastor Samuel Keyes, is to humble yourself before the Lord and get down on your knees. No, I say that the way to pray, said Pastor David Wise, is to stand up straight with outstretched arms and eyes turned to the skies. Oh, no, 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 said Pastor Slow. That posture is too proud. We should all pray with eyes closed tight and heads contritely bowed. Well, I believe your hands should be gently clasped in front with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Pastor Johnny Blunt. But last year, I fell into a well, head first, said Farmer Brown. Both of my feet were sticking up, and my head was pointing down. Yet in my distress, I called out to God with the most honest words I've said. Yes, the best prayers I've ever prayed was standing on my head. It doesn't matter how you're. Now, I wrote a few extra verses. I added these. Then Jonah said, these all may be true for each one of you, so use whichever one you wish. But as for me, my best prayer came in the belly of a fish. It was dark and wet and cold and scary, but my prayers raced like a comet. They streaked across the sky to God, and He made that big fish vomit. So when and how and where you pray are matters of private fashion. Just be sure that when you pray, you present your needs with passion. All right? I think I'll stick to preaching, not poetry, okay? All right, here's the third thing you do. When you are feeling hopeless, you're gonna need this someday. You better write this down. Identify the cause of my hopelessness. Identify the cause of my hopelessness. Hopelessness is a vague feeling, and you can't deal with a vague feeling. You can't work with a problem. You can't solve a problem. You can't even pray about a problem until you identify the problem. You got to identify it. You got to identify the cause of my hopelessness. You can't counteract a feeling unless you name it. Have you ever had a general vague feeling of uneasiness and you're feeling down, you're feeling hopeless, and you go, I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why. Well, you can't work on it until you name it. When you name the feeling, that in itself helps you get a handle on it. Anything you can't name is already out of control in your life. So if you got this vague feeling of depression or vague feeling of down or discouragement or vague feeling of hopelessness, you need to stop and go, what's really going on here? What's behind this? You need to pinpoint the source. And this is what Jonah did. You know, years ago, I did a study of what causes people to lose hope. And I discovered, I read extensively, literally everything I could possibly read, on hopelessness, and I discovered that there are about 10 common causes of hopelessness. Hopelessness isn't the problem. The problem is what's causing the hopelessness in your life. And it's interesting, as I read Jonah's vivid description of what's going through his mind as he's sinking down and he's praying this prayer, and he's sinking below the waves and he's swallowed by that fish, I discovered he illustrates a bunch of those common causes of hopelessness. So for your benefit, I just want to point them out. I want to read through part of Jonah's prayer, and I want us to pick out causes of hopelessness. Because then you'll know, oh, this is what's really making me feel bad. It's not this vague sense of hopelessness. You can't work on it until you name it, all right? So let me read you verse 3-6 in Jonah chapter 2. Jonah, this is his prayer. You, God, cast me into the deep water, and I sank to the bottom of the sea. Everything was churning around me, and I was engulfed by powerful waves that overwhelmed me. Then I thought, I've been banished from God's presence, and I'll never get to see your holy temple again. I was scared to death, afraid I was drowning with water choking me and the seaweed wrapped all around my head. This is pretty graphic. I kept sinking down to, you know, the ocean floor, to the mountains that rise off the ocean floor. And I felt locked in a prison forever. Now, in that passage, he gives us 8 common causes of hopelessness. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but I want you to check any one of these that you may be feeling right now, because this could be a precursor to depression or hopelessness in your life, okay? So here are 8 feelings that cause us to feel hopeless, and Jonah mentions them all. Number one, first, feeling I'm in over my head. Feeling that I'm in over my head. You know, when you feel like my situation exceeds my knowledge, my situation exceeds my ability, the situation exceeds my finances, I'm in over my head. I've been thrown into the deep end. Jonah says, you cast me into the deep water. He's saying, I'm way out of my depth. I'm in too deep. I'm in deep trouble. When you feel like you're in over your head, that's going to cause you to feel hopeless. Number two, feeling I've hit bottom can cause hopelessness. Feeling I've hit bottom. I sank to the bottom of the sea. He said, there was no way I could go any lower. I was at an all-time low. And that when you feel you can't go any lower, when you feel I have hit rock bottom or the bottom fell out and I've gone even lower, I'm as low as you can go. I've hit bottom. That's going to cause hopelessness. Third feeling, Job says, feeling out of control and powerless. Feeling out of control and powerless. He says in the next phrase, everything was churning, circle that, churning around me. You ever felt like that? Everything was churning around you. You feel out of control and you feel powerless to change anything. You're drifting without direction. You got motion without meaning. You got activity without clarity. You've got pressure without purpose. You're just drifting around. Everything's churning around me. I'm drifting around. I'm swept along by outside forces. You're all over the map. That's feeling out of control and powerless. Number four, fourth thing, feeling overwhelmed. Feeling overwhelmed can cause you to be hopeless. I was engulfed, Jonah says, by powerful waves that overwhelmed me. I'm engulfed. That means I'm helpless to change it. I'm engulfed. The powerful is so powerful, I'm overwhelmed by it. Number five, feeling rejected or lonely. Either of these could cause you to feel hopeless. Feeling rejected or feeling, that's the real cause of the hopelessness, not the hopelessness. He says, then I thought, I've been banished from God's presence. Aloneness can cause hopelessness. Jonah's saying, I feel like God's a million miles away. I feel rejected. I feel on my own. I feel alone. That can cause hopelessness in your life. Number six, feeling remorse and regret. You can use this checklist with friends when you're helping them trying to figure out what's making them feel so bad. Feeling remorse or regret. Jonah says, and I'll never get to see your holy temple again. I'll never, he's filled with remorse. He's filled with regret. He knows the problem is his own fault. He was running from God. You can run from God, but then you can't run anymore. Because you can run, but you can't hide. On here on the screen, Psalm 42, verse 4, David says, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. That's a cause for hopelessness. My heart is breaking for remembering how it used to be. I feel remorse. I feel regret. I may feel guilt because it was so good, but I ran from God. I ran from God. And my heart's breaking as I remember how it used to be. Number seven, big cause of hopelessness, feeling crushing fear. Feeling crushing fear. Jonah says, I was scared to death. I was afraid. I was afraid I was drowning with water choking me and seaweed wrapped all around my head. Circle that word choking. Did you know that the word worry, the English word worry, comes from the old English word wergen? Do you know what wergen means? To choke, to strangle. Worry has a strangling, choking feeling on your life. It can choke the life. Anxiety, worry, fear can choke the life out of you. They can choke the hope out of you. Feeling crushing fear. And the eighth thing he says is, I was feeling trapped. I felt locked in a prison forever. Other translation, I felt behind bars and somebody had thrown away the key. Now, as we go through that list, are you feeling any of these right now? Oh, I'm in over my head, I've hit bottom, feel out of control, feel powerless, feel overwhelmed, feel lonely, feel rejected, feel remorse or regret, feel crushing fear, feel trapped. Only when you name what you're feeling, only when you identify what you're feeling, can you actually pray about it specifically. But once you know what's the cause of your hopelessness, then you can go to the next step. Number four, here's number four. Ask God for specific help. Now you're saying, God, I'm feeling out of control. God, I'm feeling regret. I'm feeling remorse. God, I'm feeling fear. God, I'm feeling trapped. God, I'm feeling any of these things we just listed, you talk to God specifically about those things. Be specific. Jonah 2, verse 2, the second part, he says, from deep in the world of the dead, I asked for help, and you listened to my cry. Now, that deep in the world of the dead could indicate that maybe he eventually died in that fish and was resurrected. We don't know. That's just a guess. Psalm 50, verse 15, God says, call to me in your times of trouble, and I will save you, and you will honor me. So, once I know what's the source, I've named what I'm really feeling. I just have this vague feeling of feeling bad. I know what's causing it. I know the thorn. Then I begin to pray specifically. Now, here's the key to asking for help. I want you to write this down. Pray the word of God. Write this down. Pray the word of God. What do I mean by that? I mean, take scripture and say them back to God. This is what Jonah did to get his miracle. Jonah clearly is well versed in the Bible because in this very short prayer, he prays eight different scriptures. Everything he said is a quote from Psalms. 8 times he quotes Psalms. He's just quoting what other people have complained about in the Bible. Now, it's a whole lot better to pray the Bible back to God. God loves to hear his words prayed back to him. You say, well, what should I pray? Write these down. 3 things you should pray. Pray the complaints to God. Pray the complaints of the Bible to God. Everything Jonah just prayed is actually in the book of Psalms. He's just saying, I felt this way, I felt this way. He's quoting David. You wouldn't know that unless you knew scripture. But you pray the complaints to God. So when you read one of those lamentation verses or chapters or Psalms, you can go, God, this is my prayer. And you pray to God, God, I am angry with you right now. And you pray the complaints to God. Laments, as I said, they're in Job, they're in Psalms, they're in Lamentations, the book of Lamentations. 2, pray the truth about God. That's the second thing. Pray the complaints of God, pray the truth of God about God. God, you're a good God. God, you're a gracious God. God, you're a just God. God, you're a fair God. You pray what the Bible says about God back to God. Okay? God, here's my complaints. They're in the Bible. Here's what the Bible says about you. That's in the Bible. And then the third thing, you pray the promises of God. God, you promised to do this. Now, keep your word. I can't tell you how many times in prayers I've said, God, I need you to keep your word. God, I need you to do what you've promised to do. You have promised right here, and I'll say the promise. If I've got it memorized, you have promised to do this. God, I need you to keep your word. Pray the complaints of the Bible, pray the truths of the Bible, and pray the promises of the Bible. 5, 5th thing you do, focus on the goodness of God to me. When everything looks dark, when everything, I can't see ahead, there's a fog, it's shrouded, I can't see the future, it's pitch black, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I focus on the goodness of God to me. And what I'm gonna have to do is I'm gonna have to mentally shift my mind when I'm hopeless. I'm gonna have to choose to stop thinking about the things that are making me feel hopeless. And I'm gonna have to choose to change the channel of my mind and start thinking about the things that I can be, I know for sure they're gonna lift my spirit, the goodness of God. How he's been good to me in the past, how he's promised to be good to me in the future, and on and that. In 7, Jonah says this, when I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. Friends, that's the answer to hopelessness right there. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. I turned back to the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the power of God and the love of God and the fairness and the justice of God and the kindness of God. I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord, and in my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. He's talking about heaven. Now, you know, the Bible in the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, but the Greek word for turning your thoughts is the word metanoia. You know what that word is? It's the word for repent. Repentance simply means to turn your thoughts. That's all it means. Repentance does not mean stop doing bad stuff. Repentance means change your mind, turn your thoughts. Think about it in a different way. Look at life from God's viewpoint instead of my own viewpoint. Look at the goodness of God, not the problems in my life. I turn my thoughts, metanoia, I repent. When you feel hopeless, you need to change the channel of your mind. You need to change your focus. You look at your problems, you'll be distressed. You look within, you'll be depressed. You look at Christ, you'll be at rest. All depends on what you're looking at. You look at the world, you'll be distressed. Look around, you'll be distressed. You look within, you'll be depressed. You look at Christ, you'll be at rest. All depends on what you're focused on. You change the channel. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. What a beautiful verse. You need to memorize that verse. You need to take it home, write it on a card, and you need to know Jonah 2:7 by heart. Everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice should memorize that verse, because one day you're gonna be driving a car and you're in an accident and you think this is the end, and you'll say, "And when I had lost all hope, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord." And that verse will be there for you. It can't help you if you don't hide it in your heart. The Bible has all of the things to get rid of your hopelessness. You just don't know where they are. And if you pored over this verse like Jonah did, he knew the Psalms so well that when he's drowning, he can quote 8 different Psalms from memory, and he's quoting the goodness of God, and he's quoting the complaints of David, and he's quoting the promises that are gonna save him. Can you do that? That's God's way of getting out of hopelessness. You need to start thinking about God's word instead of thinking about your worries. If you're thinking about your worries, it's just gonna be swirling down, 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 down. If you're thinking about God's word, it's gonna be going up, up, up. Look up when you hit bottom. Now, one of the Psalms that Jonah remembers and quotes is actually Psalm 27. Look up here on the screen. Jonah says, "I would have despaired, I guess so, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. I would have been in despair unless I had believed. I'm gonna focus on the goodness of God, God's goodness to me. When I lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to God. God, you're a good God. This is not a good situation. And it's my fault. I recognize it. It's my fault. I'm here because I was running from you. It's my sin that caused this pain, this problem. I know it, but you're still a good God even when I'm not good. And I will turn my thoughts to the Lord. I would have despaired unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord." You know this verse that I just read you. You just know it in the New International Version. We sing it all the time. Look it up here on the screen. Here's the same verse. "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I will remain," this is verse 13, "I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." He was anywhere but the land of the living when he's praying that prayer. I remember quoting that verse standing out in front of my son's home when my youngest son, Matthew, lost his battle with mental illness and took his life. It was the worst day of my life. And I remember saying, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He will not return to me, but I will return to him one day." Regardless of what you're going through, God's purpose, God's grace, God's mission for your life is greater than the problem you are going through right now. "I will remain confident of this. When I had lost all hope, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord." As I said earlier, you need to memorize that verse. Even when the problem is your fault, it was Jonah's fault. He got himself into that mess. That didn't stop the grace of God.
You know, people are being transformed by these messages. In fact, here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today, I want to share a testimony from Ella, who listens to Daily Hope in Canada, and she started listening to our broadcast during COVID-19 pandemic. She wrote, "Pastor Rick, like so many, I found every area of my life flipped upside down when the pandemic hit in 2020. I graduated from the university in April that year, and I was lost and desperate for guidance. Yet, as stubborn as I was, I searched for answers everywhere else except in God's word.
But out of desperation, I read The Purpose-Driven Life, and I started listening to Daily Hope. Daily Hope was one of the resources that became monumental in my journey to giving my life to Christ a year after I started listening. And so I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone at Daily Hope for all the work that you do. It must seem so abstract when people you reach are all over the world, but I know I'm not alone in saying that Daily Hope has helped me find comfort and God when I needed it most. Wow. Ella, thank you so much. Thank you for writing, and thank you for telling me that you've accepted Christ. You know, I know so many people who are just like you. They're lost, they're looking for answers, and they keep looking everywhere but in the right place, God's Word for the truth. But praise God, you found the Word of God, you believed His Word, and you believed that Jesus is the truth. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing to know that God is using this broadcast to help bring you and other people to Him on a daily basis. Now, you mentioned that it must be unusual to reach people around the world, even though I'm not able to meet them face to face. And I'd like to say this. I wish I could meet everybody face to face. I wish I could take every one of you out to a corner restaurant, sit down and have a cup of coffee, and just let me hear your life story. Nothing would make me feel happier than doing that. But that's why I'm blessed to receive letters. Please write me. Please tell me your story. I want to know how God is changing your life, how God is using His Word through Daily Hope to make a difference in you. So let me know what God's doing in your life. Let me know how He's using Daily Hope to help you in your Christian walk. And that way we can pray intelligently for you.
If you'd like to bless Pastor Rick by letting him know how much this broadcast has helped you, please send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.